welcome to Small Town Radio. I am your host, Maxim, and the person I am ordering food from is...
also still here at Golden Leaf. This is Connor Kafiachin. That is my last name. That is accurate. I don't know if I've ever said my last name on this show.
I think you have. I mean, when you plug your website occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't think we've ever talked about it, you know? But we don't need to, because it's not a small town. It's a month. The month of April in Polish.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, like, it's on the calendar.
Can you do a Polish accent?
I cannot.
I can't either. I tried to do one the other day, and I just did a Russian accent.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Small Town Radio. Welcome to the experience of traveling while you're stuck at home.
God, I know. This is the beginning of... we just finished our second full week of stay inside. So, at time of recording, it is March 29th. I am really wanting to go outside.
Yeah, I mean, even in New Hampshire, some of the trails are starting to shut down. I know in Colorado, some of the national parks have closed, so people don't congregate there. So, yeah. Can't always, even if you can get outside, you can't really explore the nature the way you might want to.
They shut down all the ski resorts in Colorado, and my brother, I'm a big skier, my brother's snowboards like way more than I ever ski. Like within the first 3 months, he put like 30 days on his passes or something like that. It was insane. But because the ski resorts are closed, I know today he's up at Berthoud Pass with his buddies, which is like a mountain pass that you can just park your car and hike up and ski down.
Oh, and I thought it was a path where other mountains were born.
Berthoud Pass.
Yeah.
Yep. This is a mountain that births other mountains.
Berthoud Pass.
Yep. But yeah, I know he's up there today. My mom was telling me that last time they were up there, there was apparently a bunch of police up there, but they weren't stopping people from skiing.
That's interesting. Huh. Well, hope everyone's doing well. And if you're scrolling through Instagram while you're listening to this, do you know where you should go? Do you know, Maxim?
Is it a small Chinese restaurant by the name of @STRadiopod?
I guess we are now. Oh my, that's something I miss in New York. But yeah, that is our Instagram @STRadiopod.
Are my crab rangoons still warm? Are they keeping okay?
They are keeping okay. We keep them in the freezer until they go into the fryer.
Nice. Well, yeah, get after us on ST Radio Pod at Twitter and Instagram. Hit us up, interact with us. We like to have fun with this podcast. We love when you guys tell us nice things.
Yeah, give us compliments.
Yeah, give us compliments or hate mail too. I'm open to that because then this can become a show where I read hate mail and then I yell at people.
It's better than yelling into the mirror right now, right?
Yeah, right. I'm actually, I'm going to trim all the hair off my head today.
Oh, you're doing it yourself?
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend's going to do it. Yeah. But I have my beard trimmer, which I think should be able to do it just fine. But barbershops are closed and my hair is getting gross. And I had a Zoom chat with my family the other day, like all my extended family on my mom's side.
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute, I was like, maybe I should just like trim my hair in the middle of this Zoom chat and just record it and see everyone's reaction.
Yeah.
And then I stopped for a minute and I was like, that's going to come off like a little unhinged. Like,
yeah.
That's going to be a little psycho if I do that. So I'm going to hold off.
Psycho killer, Kaskasi, fa 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 fa. You're a Talking Heads fan.
Yeah. What? Just the two songs I know. What is what does he say after Psycho Killer? Is he saying cats can see?
I think he says. I've always thought it was Kaskasi, like just random sounds.
I don't know.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now.
Psycho Killer lyrics, but that would be. That would seem a little Britney Spears-esque, right?
Oh, it's like Oh, here we go. It's French. Qu'est-ce que c'est? I don't know what that means. Let's find out.
Fa 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 better. Run, 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 run. Yeah.
Okay, so the phrase is used when you want to ask what is going on. However, oh. In my mind, this literally means, what is it that it is? That's an answer on Stack Exchange.
Oh, okay.
What's going on? Interesting. Okay, well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And the days go by. Let the water hold me down.
Oh, this podcast is brought to you by the Talking Heads, which is what a lot of people are doing on Zoom right now. Hey, how much do you think we're accelerating into Fahrenheit 451 right now with the people sitting on screens?
I want to say, per the style of this podcast, I don't get the reference.
Have you never read the book?
No, I'm not going to say I don't read books on this show, but I don't really read books that often.
There's a dystopian novel where they're burning books, and the protagonist's wife has a scene where she's just sitting in front of a bunch of screens with a bunch of different people talking, kind of like Zoom is now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of foreshadowing because this technology wasn't out. But that's really all she would do day in and day out, was talk with people, not in person, but through the screens, which is what we're doing now.
Imagine thinking that, like, using a video chat room is like a sign of the apocalypse, like back in the day. You're like, I'm going to write a book, and the worst thing that could happen is these people can talk to each other's faces over the internet.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, what else? We did plug our Instagram, Twitter, and we have a Facebook as well that people can go to, which is Small Town Radio. And then we have a Gmail that we're looking for town suggestions. If you're stuck in a small town and want to send us some information where you are, where can they send it to?
Smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can also, when this episode comes out, you have 7 more days to submit your Goblin Gauntlet contest submission. So draw a picture of a goblin, send it our way, and the community will judge your artwork.
Yeah, and if you win, if you are triumphant, if you are the victor of the first annual Hunger Games, Goblin Gauntlet, then you win $100 and pride for your district.
$100. You know how much toilet paper you can buy with $100?
One. Given the way it's being rationed right now.
You have to go to some alleyway in the Bronx, and a guy will sell you one roll of toilet paper for $100.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the toilet paper thing.
But... No, I've got enough. We do like an Amazon subscription, so we had lots of toilet paper before this whole thing even started.
You were ready. Someone new.
Yeah, one thing we didn't have... that my girlfriend bought 12 of those giant tubes of Clorox surface wipes. She bought like 2 cases of them, so there's 12 of these tubes. And the other day I was going to her place, and I basically traded her 3 rolls of toilet paper for 1 canister of sanitary wipes.
That's the time we're in, folks.
Me and my roommates were joking, like, what if this is like the future? What if we're all parents one day and we're like, go clean your room and don't forget to sanitize your doorknobs and light switches?
Hey, we don't know. I've stopped kind of reading the news on coronavirus other than, you know, the major updates. So I'm trying not to think too far ahead and stay as normal can be.
One day at a time.
Yes, exactly.
One day at a time.
Again, Sam has the day off, right?
Yeah, Sam's got the day off. Social distancing. He's doing okay though. We had a little chat earlier, and I think everything's going well. He's stocked up. He's staying inside. He's only going for 1 state mandated walk in the evening. Yeah, I don't know. Things are okay. They're good enough. Sam's been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I've been playing a lot of Doom. You know, great time to stay inside. This is like the only time in my life where I feel like I'm having guilt-free video game time.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. I'm not a gamer. But I was like, well, I'm here with my parents. Maybe we get a Nintendo Switch and like do Mario Party or something. But I don't think so. Like, in my head, I think, well, would I use that or would they use that after this settles down? Probably very limitedly. So.
Right. I'd say like this time, especially if you're in a place with your family, I think the people who are thriving right now are board gamers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like if I had my collection of board games back in Denver, like here in New York City, there would be no boredom.
Yeah. I love playing board games by myself.
By yourself?
Oh, you're talking about with other people?
Yeah, I have roommates.
Wait, do other people play board games with other people?
You're joking, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to see you play Settlers of Catan by yourself, and you just have a table with four seats, and you just switch positions every turn.
Well, the thing is, like, well, the person I play with doesn't like to trade with me. Well, one of them. The other one's kind of like, you know, the happy-go-lucky, like, first time playing, but... And then the other one's kind of just like the quiet type who's like focusing on the game. So those are my friends that I play with always. It's always the same group.
Okay.
Yeah, but I definitely don't play all my board games alone by myself.
No. There's actually, as a board game enthusiast, there's lots of board games that have solo modes built into them now, which is... an interesting thing because you take a complex multiplayer game and then you can, a lot of them have setups for just playing it solitaire so that you can like challenge yourself and like have something set up in a side room that you just come and play a few turns every once in a while and walk away from it, which is interesting.
You mean like a puzzle?
Like a puzzle, but something that you actually have to roll dice and strategize, but kind of same concept.
I just imagine someone building a puzzle and they have a six-sided die and they're like, all right, odds I don't put a piece in, evens I do. All right, let's see how it goes. Oh, no puzzle this hour. All right.
Oh my gosh. You roll a die and that's how many pieces you get to check if they even fit. So like you get to pick up like, oh, I got to pick up three pieces today. Nope, don't get to place any of them. All right.
All right, be back again tomorrow. Good thing I got the 2,000 piece puzzle.
I feel like now, like, I haven't wanted to do a puzzle in a long time, but I feel like right now it could be nice to just have, like, a 10,000-piece puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a big table. You know, I miss my desk.
I miss your desk, too.
Man, that thing was awesome.
Recording in my bedroom. Like, if you, viewers at home, if you saw me, I'm, like, sitting on a wood chair from my dining room table and my microphone is sitting on another wood chair and I am hunched over in front of my laptop recording in this weird like hunchback of Notre Dame position. I miss having a desk where I could sit like a proper dignified podcaster and dog shit open micer.
Well, you know what's one way to ease your podcasting blues?
Is it talk about some small towns?
Oh, it sure is.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're here to do today and every Sunday.
Or Monday for you.
Monday for you.
Yeah. So, well, I guess, so I'm going first this time, right? Mm-hmm. So yep. We are headed to a state I don't believe we have done yet.
Ooh.
We are headed to Ropetoe, Indiana.
No, I don't think we've done Indiana.
I don't think so. I think the Midwest, even though it's not really the Midwest, it's like definitely further east.
No, that's the Midwest.
I know it's classified as the Midwest, but if you look at the map, it's not even in the western part of the country.
Well, I mean, you can break down the Midwest into like Midwest, and there's also like the Rust Belt. Like Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio are Rust Belt. But they're still Midwest.
I know. Either way, we're going to Indiana for the first time. The Hoosier State.
The what state?
Hoosier.
The Hoosier?
Hoosier.
Hoosier?
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Hoosiers? Or like Indiana Hoosiers, like the college mascot? They're the Hoosiers. I was looking it up.
I've never heard of that.
I looked up something and I didn't research it more because this isn't actually part of the town, but I was just looking up like stuff about the history of Indiana, and the thing I said was no one really knows where the name the Hoosiers came from, but Indiana is the Hoosiers.
I'm so confused about this thing Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. Let me just look up the word itself.
Here we go. Indiana government history. There was once a contractor named Hoosier employed on the Louisville and Portland Canal who preferred to hire his laborers from Indiana. They were called Hoosier's men, and eventually all Indianans were called Hoosiers.
Oh, okay. Well,
cool.
Yeah, we're going there. This is the Hoosier Nation up in Rope Toe, Indiana.
The Hoosier Horde.
Yeah, and so Rope Toe is between South Bend and Michigan City, Indiana, which is along the northern border of the state.
No, I've driven through there.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
It's Rope Toe is not quite central between the two larger places, but further west, closer to Michigan City, and the Great Lake Michigan. So
okay, yeah, like my family, we used to drive into Michigan from Denver for Christmas, and when you drive in to Detroit, you drive through the northwest corner of Indiana. You just cut a little bit of it, and you go through Michigan City. So I've been over there.
I think I took a train through there as well, like that part of the country. Yeah. Oh, that was such a good time. Well, the population of Rope Toe, Indiana is 1,786, which is roughly the size of Leavenworth, Washington. So if that, like, you know, it's a community size town. Mm-hmm. And facts.
It's as big as my high school was.
Really? Oh, how? My high school is bigger than that.
Really? I think I had like right on like 1,700.
We had like 34, 35. Pinkerton, the biggest school in the state of New Hampshire.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. Actually, Derry and Londonderry, even though they're towns, are technically the most densely populated area of the state. Like that area.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Are the students bigger also?
No, we're just better.
Just better.
We're just number one.
Are normal size, but man, there are a lot of them.
Oh, my parents are definitely... one second.
Connor's run away from the microphone to be like, Mom, Dad, shut up.
Do you want to say hi to the folks at home?
Hello, folks at home. How are you?
Hi, Connor's dad.
I just, Maxim says hello. I just want to let you know.
Booked Southwest for Rope Toe, Indiana.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I was talking with my parents earlier about it. I mean, not flying right now with everything going on, but yeah, for the future.
First trip.
Okay, facts about Rope Toe.
So we're going to have to shout him out, obviously. Shout out to Connor's parents, Connor's dad specifically.
They don't have social media, but they will get the shout out.
Look how supportive they are. They're like, oh my gosh, are we being too loud for you to record your podcast? Sorry, sweetie. We love you so much. We'll keep it down.
That is pretty much exactly how that went.
I would have just picked up my entire setup and just walked into a weird corner in the basement and been like, okay, small town radio.
I've done that before for different recordings. yeah.
Because we don't have the cameras set up this week, I'm imagining you sitting on your bed in like a blanket tent recording inside.
I've literally done that before in London, England for a podcast. Man, podcasting. The lengths we go, but now we go to Rope Toe.
Rope Toe.
Rope Toe. Okay.
We go for Rope Toe. The lengths of rope we go for Rope Toe.
The history of Rope Toe. So Ropeto itself was pushed into the path of townhood in 1856 by Arthur Frederick Toe, who purchased land from the Indiana state government to set up a rope factory.
Ooh.
Right? And I'm guessing that's where the name comes from. It didn't like specifically say it, but I just wanted it to be true, and I feel like it has to be, because it's like 1 + 1 = 2. But can you think of
rope
the logic?
Plus toe equals rope toe.
Yeah. I love the logic of it. This guy was just like, all right, what's my name? What do I want to make? Okay, that's our town name now.
He's the only person. He decides everyone else that moves there, like, can we call it like something else? He's like, no. This is my rope factory, and I am the toe who owns it.
Yeah. It must have been, but I mean, it's also pretty small back then and still small today. So I feel like if you're the person supplying the jobs, you kind of have the authority.
Yeah, you kind of shake everyone down. And
plus, like, rope, you can tie people up with rope.
So you can tie them up and be like, what's this town's name? Rope Toe.
It'd be a better name for a bandit than a town.
Yeah, right.
But so according to thefishingfacts.com, Toe wanted to corner the rope market, manufacturing market for shipping for ships fishing on Lake Michigan, which he did in the late 19th century. And Rope Toe, Indiana was once the world's leading commercial fishing rope manufacturer in the world.
Wow. Was it, hang on. Is this the fishing rope capital of the world, though?
It once was.
Okay. So they did call it the capital.
sure. Maybe sure. It's all relative now, isn't it?
You know, I'm absolutely crazy about places called the something capital of the world.
You know, I just Googled something capitals, former like manufacturing capitals in the U.S. to get this, right?
Non-legal capitals of the world.
So the factory did pretty well for a while, obviously, if they were the capital. I couldn't figure out why, but in like the early 20th century, the factory went under, and maybe it was due to the Great Depression. I don't quite know, but it didn't survive to today. But in town in Ropeto, you can go to the town's museum on High Street, which shows the history of the town and some of the history of rope making.
Oh.
So, if you once things open back up and you want to go show the kids what rope is, go to the Rope Toe Historical Museum.
What kind of rope do you like?
All rope.
Rope? Do you have a favorite knot?
I wasn't a scout, so I don't know any knots. Shoelace? Bunny ears?
The one that helps you run away from your problems?
Hey, did you know if you're tying a shoe in a double knot, you're doing it wrong? Because in theory, if you tie the single knot the right way, the friction is just right, so it won't fall off. It won't untie.
Let me ask you this: when you tie your shoe, you cross the two laces, you twist them together.
Yep.
Do you then make one loop or two loops at that point?
Over under one.
You do the one loop? Okay. Yeah. I do two loops.
Child's play.
I that's how I learned to tie my shoes, and I have never done it any other way. So I do the twist, and then I make two loops, and then you twist the two loops, and then you do the same thing for double knotting. And I've had a lot of people make fun of me for it, but I stand by my shoe tying method.
Who are your shoe tying bullies? Who does that?
People who have watched me tie my shoes.
The amount of times I've watched a man tie his shoe in the last year is probably less than 3, which is also a heart. Or is that greater than 3?
Less than three. You're
less
right.
Than three. Oh, I was right. Okay.
I think you've watched thousands of people tie their shoe. You just don't even think about it because it's New York City, and you just don't pay attention to anyone except anyone who poses a threat to you on the street.
Yeah. But bullies of shoe tying. Well,
you freaking so, nerd. Saw how you're tying your shoes back there. I want to let you know that only losers tie their shoes with two loops.
Man, weren't times simpler before quarantining?
Right. Now they're like, oh my goodness, you own shoes and you can go outside? Just kidding. It's not that bad.
Well, we're on to fact number two. And today, ironically, Ropetoe, Indiana is the home of the American headquarters for the TWIF.
And which is?
Yes, great question. I was just going to say, what is that you ask? So can we do that again, actually? What is that you ask?
Sorry, do you want me to say, what is that you ask?
Sure, yeah. I didn't think it all the way through.
Okay, you say the first sentence again.
Ironically, Ropetoe, Indiana today is the home of the American headquarters for the TWIF.
TWIF? What is that?
The TWIF is the Tug of War International Federation.
Oh my goodness, this is so cool.
So you go from making rope to pulling rope. And so if you're interested, according to the Tug of War International Federation's website, tugofwar-twif.org, the mission statement of the TWIF is, quote, as an international federation, our mission is to provide the structure and good governance necessary for the well-being and development of the sport of tug-of-war throughout the world. Our primary objective is to attain a sufficiently high level of excellence and universally to expedite the acceptance of the International Olympic Committee as a sport within the program of the Olympic Games, a status held by our sport in the early years of the 20th century. End quote.
Awesome.
Tug of War was in the Olympics. That's mm-hmm. mind-blowing, first of all. But the other thing that's really wild on this website is they have a whole anti-doping section.
Anti-doping for Tug of War?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you're training for Tug of War, do you train your arms or do you train your legs?
I think it's a whole body workout. It's also teamwork.
You train your friend's legs?
I'll pull your rope if you pull mine.
Yikes. Yikes. These guys are out there and they're not pushing rope, folks. They're pulling rope.
Every summer, the top teams who won their regional competitions, and there are eight regions of the TWIF in the United States, head to Ropetoe, Indiana to compete for the right to represent the U.S. at the World Championships. And during the week-long competition held in mid-June, the town population quadruples in size as tourists flock to the city for the event.
Wow.
So that means there's like 8,000 to 10,000 people in Ropetoe. In the middle of June. And if you really want to get into the weeds, yes, Ropetoe does hold both the indoor and outdoor championships in the U.S.
I'm guessing, are the ropes actually different for indoor versus outdoor?
I don't know. I didn't get too far into the weeds. It was just on the website because you could see like on their main page, like indoor and outdoor.
Let me ask you this. You might know this. Is the mud pit between the two teams, is that regulation or do they do that?
They must. Let's see. Let me actually go to the website. Did I close the tab? No. I'm just going to look at. I'm going to turn down my volume real quick. We'd click on this YouTube video. And this has got to be indoor. They have their little graphics logo at the beginning. Why is this so small? It looks like they're on a gym floor. And there's like a mat down. So there's got to be, I think there's a standard size of like number of people. Obviously, there's got to be a number of people standard. But this has got to be the indoor competition. And there's like a mat. So there's got to be some type of gripping. And then it looks like there's something underneath the mat to also hold it. So there must be a standard length and there must be a standard distance that the flag in the middle has to travel.
So. Okay, gotcha. Well, I'm looking this up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised how many teams there are. There's a lot of teams that are involved in this.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Hello?
I can hear you. Did I lose you?
Oh, I can't hear you, but I can see you.
You should be able to hear me. Can you
this
hear
is
me?
Wild. Can you want to call me back? No, oh, I turned my volume all the way down. Idiot.
Can you hear me now?
I can. I turned my volume all the way down so it wouldn't come through my laptop. But you know how I hear through my laptop? My headphones. So, yeah, that is that is what happens in Ropeto, Indiana.
Wow. I looked up the TWIF. There's a lot of teams that compete in this.
There's so I just like the irony of like this was once a rope making town, mm-hmm. and now they tug of war, which is the only predominantly rope heavy sport, or like when it's the only equipment you need.
They really just leaned into this whole rope thing.
I hope so. I hope someone was like at the museum was like, you know what? I've got an idea. But yeah, our third fact is another wild one. Because, you know, like, this town kind of has all the major categories. It has, like, some interesting history, some things that are happening currently. And then, so the third, you know, we have geography. Some geography. Well, like, yeah, I guess geography. Like, kind of, it's nature. Nature facts. Mm-hmm. Geological words. So... So along, so actually in town today, you know, they have High Street and Second Street. You have the typical shops and restaurants and a few microbrews where bands play and you can like get drinks after the tug of war challenge, yada, yada, yada. But just north of what a person may consider the downtown of this small town is the Northern Small Tree Trail, which is home to a bogus world record, in my opinion.
Okay, let's hear it.
And the record is... the longest straight wooded hiking path in the world.
What? Like it's like a perfectly straight line?
Well, so from Wikipedia, quote, just over 2 miles, the straight section of the Northern Small Tree Trail Loop in Ropeto, Indiana, was identified as the longest straight wooded hiking path in 2006. And according to the bogus rules of this obscure record, the path qualified by having no obscurities in the line of sight for the entire 2 miles and has an uninterrupted through line that runs the entirety of that stretch.
Okay, I mean, that's kind of interesting. I feel like that would be a really good spot to take some cool pictures.
I mean, would be cool. It's kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel thing, but I mean... I don't know where the name Small Tree like comes from. There's probably some light coming in. But I kind of feel like, you know, that's one of those ones if you like make the category small enough, you get it. But 2 miles is a long distance.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I mean, it must stretch out of town, but it starts. Yeah, it seems to start in Ropeto itself. So
interesting.
The head of the path, the loop there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would be super down to check that out, honestly. Like, I do love when you get the tree tunnel effect on a path or like a road and you get the straightaways. I think it's so cool. So I would be super into walking that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a loops too. So you can kind of like, you know, go, you don't need to go the 2 miles and like come back.
Ugh, I love a good loop.
Nothing like a loop.
All right. Yeah. Well, is that what you got for Ropeto?
That is Ropeto, Indiana.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you for your research. That was quite an interesting town.
Yes. Indiana, don't let us down.
Never let the Hoosiers never disappoint.
We're the Hoosiers, not the losers.
The Hoosiers, not the losers. That's what they say when they lose a tug of war match. They're like, we're the Hoosiers, not the losers.
I, yeah, yeah. I mean, go figure.
All right. Do we want to get into our sponsors? Do you have a sponsor for us today?
Yeah, I do. I do. Thank you so much for asking. My sponsor is April Fools. I made up that town. There is no Ripto, Indiana, and if there is, I apologize for making up all this stuff about you.
With that being said, now Ropto, my town not is Ripto. Not going to... My town is going to sound more ridiculous now that we've revealed, but I want to say you did a great job getting into the specifics of like the location and the tug of war thing. That was good. That was very believable, especially I feel like when I was doing this, like... I was like, I feel like now that we've done so much research on so many towns, we could definitely write a very believable made-up place.
Well, that's the thing. I actually broke it down into like the name of it, Ropetoe, came into my head just randomly, and I was like, all right, there, all right, a town, a state that we haven't picked up on that. So like checking things off that way, and then just breaking down to the major categories and make it interesting. But the one thing, while everything is made up. The one thing that is real about this is there is a TWIF.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is completely real. And their mission statement that I read is the actual mission statement. There is an organization out there who is the International Federation for Tug of War, and they are actively trying to get the Tug of War back into the Olympics.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that part is real.
I don't think I would have been able to come up with the wording for that mission statement. But yeah, that is 100% real. And there really is an anti-doping section on their website.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Yeah, and when I went to that YouTube video, that was 100% real as well. So,
Wow. I thought you were turning it down so you could make it up.
No. I wish I was that smart.
During this April Fools, we were supposed to be fooling the listeners. You fooled me.
Yeah, no, well, I knew, so I, like, my logic went rope, all right, rope toe, obviously needs to have something with rope, Maxim Love's Capital of the World, let's throw that in, and then I was like, all right, what's a one-off of rope that's just far enough off, so people aren't catching on, I was like, All right, tug of war, there was something else that maybe I'll save for another day, that I wanted to make as, like, an event that happens, yeah, I'll save it for another time, but I think it would have been really fun.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, good job writing that. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Ropetoe, Indiana. And you know the one thing, I'll do this in real time. I'll make sure that I just didn't make up. There's a Ripetoe? No, there's a Ripetoe Dan. What? Map. Let me go to a map. There's a Ripetoe, Indiana. That might be.
Wait,
that's a name of a person, David W. Ripetoe Regiment.
Ripetoe
Regiment name side Indiana. So I think
this guy on when you look up Ripetoe, the guy that comes up would crush it in tug of war.
Yeah, I don't think this is a good. Oh man, that would have been bad. You're like, I just made up all these facts about a town that's actually real.
Yeah, right. It happens to be in Northwest Indiana, too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I want to get to my sponsor today. Today, I am sponsored by Good News, a podcast that Connor produces and writes and performs. It's his other podcast.
Yeah.
For you listening at home, I highly recommend you check it out. If you hate the fact these episodes are an hour long, boy, are you going to love Good News, a podcast.
Yeah, Good News is a podcast that I've said for multiple weeks now that I'm going to use to plug this podcast. And, you know, one of those things that you put on the checklist and you're like, all right, this week I'm going to do it. And each week it is this week. But it turns out at the end of the week, it's actually next week. but yeah, it's a project that I used to do. It's coming back in part because my sister and I were talking about like silver linings that are happening during everything that's going on with coronavirus. And the big thing that I learned doing this podcast earlier was that typically good news comes from bad situations. And I mean, We're in a pretty bad situation right now. Yeah. So there's some positive out there. Big thing is this time.
What's the format?
This format right now, it's it used to be just a completely scripted thing that I created, but now I really want it to be listener driven. So I'm looking for people to call in to the podcast or send me voice memos at you can send me a voice memo at my email, which is connorkviecin@gmail.com, spelled ConnorKwieCien. And as in Nancy at gmail.com, or just there's a Google Voice, but just go to @goodnews_podcast on Instagram, and you can get all that information there.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably put a link in our small town radio description to pop you over to that one as well.
Yeah, well, I'd appreciate that. But yeah, hopefully it's just quick, easy, helps you kind of, it's a little bit of escapism. It's like a...
Yeah, it's fun. It's light. It's just people call in with good news about the world or their personal lives, and it's a cheery little thing. And you get to hear Connor in his prime of reading a script he wrote for himself.
Yeah, I'd love to. Another thing too is I know a lot of creative people have been making stuff during this time and putting it out like on Instagram or whatever. But I'd love to get a feature in there where I actually feature certain creative people, comedians or otherwise. And promote their stuff at the end. But we'll see. Yeah.
Go check it out.
Thank you for your sponsor.
Yeah. Go check out Good News: A Podcast, as we discussed in episode 9 with Olivia.
Yes. Shout out to Olivia, who was a big part of that project early on.
So yeah, if you're looking for something a little bit cheerier in these trying times, go check that out. I know that our podcast is super cheery. Also, so you can just listen to Small Town Radio if you want.
And, yeah, I'll just embed it right here. Okay, how is that? Did you enjoy Good News? We're all embedded it the other way around. They're like, why is this episode 1.5 hours long? Just gotta listen.
All right, cool. Well, we're gonna move on. I'm gonna do my town before we get out of here for today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So my made-up town is is Gleeland, Montana.
Gleeland.
Western location, Western Montana, near the Idaho border. The population is 52 as of the 2010 census. And I really made an effort to make sure I would win the small town award this episode when we're making up towns.
I did take a look at yours just to make sure you're in the same state. And then I read where it was. And my favorite part is that it is along the Montana-Idaho border, which is a large area.
Yeah. It's a very long, wide range of places.
Is it the world? Wait, can I guess one of the facts?
Yeah.
It is the world's longest town.
No, actually, I was thinking about doing something like that. I was going to do a town where the town is exactly one street and then everything on the town is built on one side of the street. And it's just like a straightaway. Like but I was like, that's going to be
a little too wilderness.
Weird. Yeah.
but congrats on the small town award. For those of you keeping track at home.
All I had to do was make up a smaller town. Make up less people. Okay. So I'm going to get into it. Fact number one, Gleeland was founded in 1867 by a Civil War veteran by the name of Glancy Pibbins. Traumatized by the bloodshed he witnessed in battle, Glancy left his home state of Virginia for the Rockies and Montana territory. There is no historical record of how Gleeland got its name, but some believe that the letter Glancy left his mother upon his departure hints at its origin. Quote from their historicalsociety.org. Dearest mother, there was no greater mercy than returning home to you after the war. Every day in the field, I would dream about the peace I would find here upon my return. Alas, the glee I found in my childhood in this home is now gone. My soul has been painted with the deafening explosions of cannon fire and the shouts of men charging into battle. I fear if I stay here, I will never find sleep again. I have set out west to find somewhere that I can find some silence and feel like myself again. I will write as often as time allows and will pray for you twice as often. I look forward to starting the cabbage farm I have always dreamed of. Yours forever, Glancy. So in the letter, he says he mentions the glee he found in his childhood. So people think that he was like, I want to feel this feeling of glee again that I had when I was a kid. So I'm going to run away and start a new town.
I mean, that feels like what I wanted to do as a child.
Yeah, start your own town.
Yeah.
Well, you just did earlier on this episode.
Glee Land.
All right. So it's just kind of like a mountain kind of small community for a long time, but just like general, like a little bit of mining, a little bit of farming, lumber, just kind of general. But in 1910, Hodgins Plasters, a mannequin factory, opened in Glee Land. Herbold Hodgins, the owner and lead designer at the factory, became internationally renowned for his lifelike mannequins. Fashion companies from stores around the world would come and visit him in his factory. They would often commission him to create custom mannequins with unique features standing in elegant poses. In 1922, Glee Land was named, quote, the mannequin capital of the world. There it is, right? You think I'm going to make up a town and not make up a capital of the world? Come on.
The thing that gets me though is when I think of like a lot of mannequins in one place, I immediately jump to, wow, that's creepy. And the irony of this, these mannequins, I'm guessing thousands upon thousands of mannequins stored tightly together in neat rows in a factory in a place called Glee Land, is kind of the setting of maybe a horror movie or like iRobot instead of iRobot, iMannequin.
iMannequin. Well, just you wait for the second part of this fact.
Oh. At night, they come to life.
Right. Okay, so Herbold died in 1943, and his son took control of the company until its closure in 1968. While the factory was running, hundreds of defective mannequins would be discarded behind the factory every year, and local youths would often steal these rejects, dress them up, paint them, and hide them in the woods surrounding the town. Thousands of these mannequins still remain. It is in what is now called the Glee Land Mannequin Forest.
That's so. See, a part of me that's really, really clever, but also, it is really clever, and I feel like it could be really beautiful in the right lighting,
mm-hmm.
but extremely creepy.
Oh yeah,
anytime after 6 p.m.
That was the goal. Like, I will tell the listeners, I made sure that Connor was going first this episode, because when my town gets into it, it's like, this has got to be made up.
I just hope at the end of it, you just say, and there was one thing that I pulled from a real town, and it was the mannequin forest.
Oh my God. No, I feel like I was like, okay, this is a thing that could happen, because if I was, I feel like I would be someone that if there was a bunch of discarded mannequins, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's paint them in creepy ways and put them in the woods. Like,
no, not for me. Oh, I get scared. I'm a scared little boy.
Fact number three. Today, the town is mostly a ghost town, with the remaining residents running a very successful zip lining tour company. The Glee Land Zip has some of the longest, highest, and fastest zip lines in the United States. The company employs 38 of the 52 town residents. Tours are given 365 days a year to an estimated 30,000 visitors annually. Matt wow. Mungbuck, legendary zipliner of the Andes and winner of 19 Zippies, described Glee Land in a 2012 issue of Zip Masters. Quote, Glee Land is terrifying to drive into. Whenever you look into the woods outside of town, you can find a mannequin looking back at you. When you get to town, though, you're greeted by the warmest bunch of zippers, which are zipliners, you ever met. They love what they do here, and they love their odd little town. I happened to show up on the day of their annual crotchless jeans drink-a-boot festival. What a wild time. As dangerous as it is to hop on the line, five boots of beer deep, it was an experience I will never forget. These people are some of the most hospitable zippers I've met in my 34 years of zipping. I plan on making Glee Land a regular stop on my annual tour. These lines are steep, fast, and completely off the hook. Nothing like I've ever zipped anywhere else in the world. On the line they refer to as Dragon's Palm, it is normal for your handbrake to completely melt from how fast you are going. Now I know what a third-degree burn feels like when you're 4,000 feet in the air.
That's... I like to imagine that this place has kept their zip line opens today and everything that's happening. And there's like one like this man who's clearly a zip line enthusiast who just goes up and rides down and goes, "Can't catch me, Corona, can't catch me," as he's zipping down the lines.
I'm social distancing at very high speeds. And last thing about this fact, Gleeland ziplining guides have 15 Olympic ziplining medals between them. They're often flown around the world to lay lines and compete in events. So you'll notice that we both mentioned the Olympics. However, my Olympic sport is completely made up.
But it sounds as real as mine.
Right.
Maybe also both of us feel a little sad that the Olympics aren't happening this year.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of a bummer because I know Tokyo's disappointed because the economic impact the Olympics have. And if your city is gearing up for Olympics one year, you spend all these resources and you're expecting the turnaround to happen on that date. But now they have to wait another year for their economic return on these things.
Yeah, it's tough. But at least you can imagine ziplining at the Olympics in your head.
Are you a summer or winter Olympics guy?
Summer for sure.
Okay, what's your favorite summer Olympic sport to watch?
I enjoy watching track and field a lot. I went to the Olympic trials. I went to the Olympic trials. I didn't get into the stadium, but I got into the venue at Eugene, Oregon, because they host them there every year. So I was there just in the summer in my college town where the Olympics trials were held. So you'd see like Eric Jenkins was at the Olympic trials and he's from New Hampshire and he ran there and I saw him on campus a few years before. Ashton Eaton I would see on campus and he was, some would consider him the world's greatest athlete during his prime because he was the, pentathlon champion. And he set the world record for like highest score that. And so, yeah, you'd just see these Olympians around or like people competing for it. So it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm more of a winter Olympics guy because that makes sense. Skier. And I like all the freestyle skiing and snowboarding, the half pipe, like slope style, all of it. I absolutely love it. But for summer Olympics, I love women's gymnastics. I'm so impressed by like rhythmics or the double bars or the floor routine. I just think it's absolutely incredible what these women do. So,
yeah, I also like the mannequin design challenge there.
The mannequin design challenge. I like the mannequin Olympics.
Who can stand the stillest for the longest?
Which actually kind of comes into my next fact a little bit.
Oh.
So this is my final fact. This is a fourth fact for you listeners at home. Resident Mary Trucker holds the world record for most time spent on a zip line at 4 days, 16 hours, and 32 minutes and 10 seconds. Mary was ziplining alone on a lesser-known line over something called Mandible Ravine and got stuck waiting days before rescuers found and retrieved her. So you'll notice that we both finished off with a BS world record.
That is the key for a successful small town.
I guess so. It's like the formula is an origin story, a weird thing they do, and then a world record and a capital of the world fact.
Yeah. If you got those, you have a good small town.
We have a good made-up small town. And when I was writing this, I was like having a lot of fun. I was like, wow, maybe we should just make small town radio about made-up towns.
I mean, that's what the show was initially.
You're right. It's like, wow, who knew that reading about a bunch of towns would make me just want to make up a bunch more? Yeah. I almost suggested we do a made-up town lightning round.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. I'd be up for that at some point.
We should definitely do that. I feel like this was a good like creative writing type challenge where I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's almost like we write comedy or something.
I know, right? Maybe we should start another hour-long podcast called Small Town Radio After Dark.
And then it's just the mannequins in town.
Oh my God, the hosts are mannequins. It's a video show, but it's mannequins sitting at the mics.
You know what? We should do that. I kind of want to find clip art or make some mannequins or something and put that on, because this is still going to go up on, you'll still be able to find this on YouTube without the video. But if we just had like mannequins sitting there and people would have to stare at that until they got to the end, just be like, why are there mannequins on my screen?
Yeah, right. You have to wait the whole 55 minutes through this show to figure out what is happening here.
Oh, man. That's great.
Good stuff. Good work. We will revisit this as an idea. I told my mom today, I was like, man, when we started this podcast, I suggested we do an April Fool's Made Up Towns episode. And I was like, you don't understand. I've been waiting for this episode for 5 months.
I've been told before, too, that like some people have been like, you should just make one up and see, and just don't like tell Maxim and see what he says. Because we talk about town. Like, we surprise each other with our town facts. So mm-hmm. in all likelihood, either one of us could have done it before.
Yeah, I think if I heard yours, I would probably believe it was made up. Like, I would have believed it was real. Just the cool, like, the thing is like, especially, go home and watch Tiger King on Netflix if you haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone's been talking about it, but I have no idea what that is.
It is truly a show that goes to show you that truth is stranger than fiction. And I think with a lot of towns we've done, like, even like just one of the mentioned this episode, like Leavenworth, it's just there are sometimes there are places and there are people who go above and beyond and do extraordinary things. And there are weird circumstances and there are things that you almost can't make up. So mm-hmm. like if you put like your town, if you were just throw that into a normal episode, I've been like, oh, this sounds like it could be real.
Yeah. I mean, that was the goal, right? I mean, that's what I felt. And so the 2 mile thing, as I was saying that, the 2 mile, I was like, that's really long.
That is really long. But also I'm thinking of, it might be challenging in that area of Indiana just because you're near the lake and the terrain is more bumpy. But if you're in like central Indiana or something where it's flat, it would be no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was interesting. The mannequins thing. I don't want to ever be in a place with more than 6 mannequins.
Yeah. It would be creepy as hell.
Yeah.
I feel like, it would feel like you were in like Meow Wolf or something in the woods, but with that looming terror of like, I think what's scary about mannequins is the fact that if you go, oh, they're just mannequins, and you accept every one of them as a mannequin, one of them could actually be a person, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, oh my goodness, that's a person lurking there. One thing I've always wanted to do on Halloween, this is so messed up, but I really wanted to do this in like a college town, would be for Halloween, I dress up in an all black morph suit, and then mm-hmm. I just act like a shadow, just out and about near where parties are happening and stuff. So I'm like laying down next to a trash can or standing next to a tree, and then people do a double take, like, holy shit, is that a dude? And then I just run away. But that's how you get the police called on you.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I'm never ever doing that.
Yeah.
It's just a prank, bro. The camera's over there.
It's a security camera.
It's just a prank, dude. I'm doing it for the security camera.
I just want the mugshot at the end, man.
Do it all for the mugshot. Oh, next time I have to submit a headshot for a comedy show, I should submit like a mugshot. We should do mugshots.
That'd be really funny. If only I had my camera with me in New York.
It's a bummer that you left at home.
Yeah.
I've been like doing indoor photography to like practice. Been doing some food photography. I was playing around in Lightroom the other day. And it was weird because I popped it open on my computer and it loaded all of your photos.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember taking these. I didn't take these photos. Then I was like, oh, wait, it's connected to the cloud that we share.
Yeah. Because Lightroom, you can connect to your phone on the app, which is really helpful if you want to edit on the move, but not helpful if someone else also has the app.
Then I was thinking, I was like, I was like, what if Connor had like dirty pictures in here? And I'm like, who am I kidding? Connor is not the type of person to do that. But like, also it's like, I'm not like going to comb through your photos. Like, oh, what does he have in here?
I'm pretty sure I only sync, like I don't sync everything from my phone anyway either. It's just like show photos and stuff. So
yeah, I think I was telling you this before. I cleaned out my smartphone last night and I backed up everything to my hard drive. And then I deleted all the photos off my phone, which is almost 20,000 photos.
Yeah.
And I had like a bit of a panic attack after I did it because I was like, I need to make sure these are backed up. Like, did I just lose everything? I'm like, no, they're backed up. Chill out. But now I'm realizing I need a second spot to back them up so I don't go crazy.
Well, speaking of photos, this is a rough transition. Speaking of photos, you can send us a drawing of a goblin for the goblin contest.
Or you can dress up like a goblin, take a photo, and send it in.
I would love that. That's a part of it. Ooh, for
let's
sure.
Let's do a goblin photo shoot sometime. Let's get some like shitty pointy ears and like paint our faces green and just take some goofy ass photos.
And then mugshots.
And mugshots, yeah. That would be a blast, actually.
Yeah. What else we got here as we're wrapping up?
Do you have a joke you want to share?
Oh, I did think of this. Let's see. I thought of it today in the shower. Now, let me see if I can remember it. The company Q-Tips puts on the box, do not clean out your ears with Q-Tips. But I still clean out my ears with Q-Tips. Oh, my goodness. Do you hear my... Hey, I'm still recording, but you're getting.
So I will stop.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, hello. Hello, very much. Oh, hello.
Hi, welcome to Small Town Radio.
Yeah.
It's recording right now, so.
Oh, no worries. I just want to cut you off before. Yeah, yeah. No, that's all right. I'll be out in just a minute. Yeah, so also to circle back around, that wasn't also a setup either. I was talking to my dad about my made-up town, so he was on board. But yes, so this joke, so Q-tip puts on their box, you're not supposed to clean out your ears with Q-tips because it could be dangerous, but I still clean out my ears with Q-tips because I know the difference between digging for gold and hitting the power lines.
That's good. That one's actually funny.
That's the best compliment. That one's actually funny because the other ones weren't.
I thought you were gonna be like, but I still clean out my ears with Q-tips because it's dangerous. Like, you gotta live for the thrill.
I got some other stuff in the pipeline that I'll share later, but that one came to my head in full joke form in the shower today.
Awesome. Good. Well, great way to close out with an actually funny joke. Good work. Okay. Well, that's it for Small Town Radio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
All right. See you next week.